Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday, May 5th, 2015, episode 43 of the Hockey Guys Podcast. This is yours truly, Hunter Crowther, here with my co-host Chris Shannon. We got a lot to talk about today. We got Habs and Lightning, 2-0 in that series. We'll talk about Brandon Prust's comments with Brad Watson and the follow-up following that. Chicago Blackhawks look to improve to 3-0 over Minnesota tonight. Same with the Ducks against the Flames. Ducks did pretty well in Winnipeg. Let's see how they do in Calgary. And, of course, the Washington Capitals beat the New York Rangers 1-0 last night. That puts them up 2-1 heading into that series. And also today's guest, we got Todd Cordell of Hockey Buzz. He's going to talk to us about Ray Shiro's hiring in New Jersey, what that means for the, I guess, somewhat historic franchise. Chris, I hear that you're going to be in Tampa tomorrow for game three with the Habs and the Lightning. Can you confirm?
I can confirm that. From a couple sources, I've got that. But, yeah, I'll be driving up there tomorrow. Nice four-hour drive. But I am pumped, and it's going to be one hell of a game for sure.
Now, let's start off with a little bit of Habs-Lightning. The Montreal Canadiens lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning the other night 6-2. Carey Price did not look good in that game. He let in some of those goals weren't the best. And for the most part, Montreal played with them quite well. It was just some weak goals got by them. But, of course, the big story coming out of that game was Brandon Prust and his little spat with Brad Watson. Prust accused Watson of calling him a coward, along with several other things that we can't repeat on this show. And it sparked a big controversy over whether or not Prust should have left it on the ice, whether Watson should have said anything in the beginning, whether there, what kind of relationship do players and officials have on the ice. Chris, I'll start with you. What were your thoughts on the situation and also thoughts on this series, which is now 2-0 going back to Tampa?
Well, I'll start with this series. Montreal put themselves in a horrible situation. I mean, they can't beat this team. Tampa is to Montreal what Montreal is to Boston. And they're just a frustrating team, and they can't play the game the way they want to. It doesn't look good, but I'm pretty confident with this team. I think everything may be going their way here. They had a two-day break, so they can forget about the last two games, come back into it. They have back-to-back games, so if you win one game, you have all that emotion bringing it into the second game. I'm happy about that. I really think that'll help for sure, back-to-back, which we don't really see that much in the playoffs. So I think those two reasons will really help this team thrive. And Montreal Canadiens, I mean, we can't score. We all know that. But they're known for their character. I mean, that's what Marc Bergevin praises. So this is the time that we see their real character. They haven't really been challenged yet this whole season, to be honest. They've been one of the luckiest teams with injuries. This is the time that we will see them shine character, quote-unquote character, because I don't know. I don't know if there is actually – I don't know if I believe in the character will bring you to the playoffs, because that's what Montreal is riding on right now. But it's a learning experience. You know, this offseason, no matter what happens, Montreal's not going to go far. Like, to the Cup, you're not going to win the Cup. We know that. But it's going to be one crazy offseason. I think this will be a game-changing for the Montreal Canadiens this offseason, no matter what happens. I think we'll see some big key components coming to Montreal, because Marc Bergevin is ready to get this team rolling. And with the Brandon Prust situation, I was totally happy with what Brandon did. Actually, you know, he kind of deferred the whole bad loss. And really, the last 2 days, we've been talking about Brandon Prust, which is amazing. And you know what? Him and the referees, he's actually a pretty good guy. Like, he's not a cheap shot guy, you know. He's a fighter, and he's a character player. But he's not like a guy who doesn't have respect from players around the league and the refs. Yeah, should he have said that? Maybe not. But he did, and he changed what everyone's talking about now. So I'm not mad with what he said. I don't think the management is either. They've acted like, oh, yeah, we'll deal with it internally. I bet Michel Therrien didn't really care and kind of praised him about it. Brandon Prust, I think we may see a big game from in Game 3. I think, you know, this guy, he does change the game with Montreal. And you don't really see it, but when you watch this team, you can see his physical component come out. And him and Dale Weiss, you know, when they're playing their game, the Montreal Canadiens are a scary team to watch.
I've been sitting on this for a few days, and I've been thinking at it from different perspectives, whether it's Kruss himself, Brad Watson, what it would be like to be a referee in the NHL after reading that, and just generally the whole situation. And look, I've known Prust for years. I've worked with him on multiple projects, and I can attest that he's a guy who does respect the game, and players around the league respect him, and for the most part, I'd say officials do as well. But I think that in a situation like this where it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, you're down 2-0, and like he said in his comments today where he actually apologized to Brad Watson and other referees across the league, I think it was a moment where he was just way too emotional, and he more than likely shouldn't have been doing post-game interviews. But what I'll say about this, though, is that Prust has taken a lot of heat from people in the past few days, and some people are calling him a baby and that he shouldn't have said anything, and he should have kept it on the ice. And you know what? They're right. In all honesty, he probably shouldn't have said anything. It's one of those things where guys yap at each other and he just let his emotions get the best of him. But, you know, for an industry where reporters complain about stock answers and complain about the general, oh, we worked hard and, yeah, it's going to stay on the ice, I'm not at liberty to say. For a moment where someone is candid and honest and says, you know what, so-and-so said this, so I said this, and then he said this, and now we're ripping him for that? I mean, what kind of hypocrisy is there on the media's behalf where we're destroying a guy and saying that he did the wrong thing? And you know what? Maybe he did or didn't, but who are we to criticize someone for being honest in an industry where we just, especially in hockey, where it's just so boring? Like, these guys give such mundane answers, and the fact that he's willing to be honest about something – and now we tear them apart for it. I just find it hypocritical.
That's a great point, and that's the thing. They act like robots. This is the problem with hockey and media, and you know, like the ESPN, they don't show hockey because there's not a breaking highlight. And that's as much as some people hate sports about, like, oh, did you hear what Johnny Manziel did today? It gets popularity, and that's something we don't see in the NHL. I mean, the closest thing to that is Josh Hosang, and he hasn't even hit the NHL yet, and he's getting all this hate. I mean, it's something wrong with this NHL fan base that we have to accept and like. We have to like what Graham Prust did. You know, we can for sure debate it, but I think we have to be thankful that he's coming out there and being honest. I mean, this is bringing up great stories. Like, we are talking about this. Every radio station is talking about this. It gains popularity for the sport because it gets it out there.
Yeah, people are talking about it, and that's just my point. I mean, like hockey is such an ultra-conservative culture, and we've talked about this on the show before, where it's just like this old boys' club of old white guys who have this way of doing things, and if anyone tries to steer clear of that or steer away from that, they get criticized. I mean, you know it as well as anyone. I mean, P.K. Subban takes so much abuse from hockey commentators simply for the fact that he's just a personality. So that's my last point on the thing. I just found the whole situation weird. I will give some kudos to Prust in the sense that he took the attention off of his team. I mean, no one's talking about the fact that Carey Price, who's nearly a lock he might be a lock for the Hall of Fame down the road, but he's a lock for the Hart Trophy. He had a horrible game, and no one talked about that. So
yeah.
There's a little bit of genius in that, but. Moving on, as we wait for Todd Cordell, we expect him to be on in about 5 minutes, and we'll be talking a little bit about Ray Shiro. But for now, the Washington Capitals defeated the New York Rangers last night with a score of 1-0. I have to say, I tweeted this out last night, this game felt like the pitcher's duel of hockey, where there was only one goal, and it seemed like every single opportunity was exciting, and both goalies played great. I think Holtby's, this really is his coming out phase, where he's playing tremendous hockey right now. In this postseason, Holtby has a .949 save percentage, and he's really becoming one of the leading candidates for the Conn Smythe, which we can say might be a little too early to be talking about Conn Smythe talk, but he's done really well with the team so far. Jay Beagle gets the goal. He's been tremendous for the Caps, nearly 70% on the faceoff, real good PK specialist. And the other thing that came out of that game, too, is the fact that despite having nearly like 15 shot attempts in the game, Rick Nash still
is only one goal in this playoff run, and that goal came near the end of a meaningless game. My one point about Rick Nash and Sean Harnett, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, he wrote an article for CBS New York talking about how Nash's 32 shots this postseason ranked fourth. And even though he had a 13.8 shot percentage in the regular season, so far in the postseason, he's only got a 3.1. And we always talk about how the postseason is full of small sample sizes, and if guys can have a cold streak, and it looks like they're chokers when in reality they just can't score. But what's the deal with the New York Rangers? Why can't they put the puck in the net? Or is Braden Holtby just that good?
I really think Braden Holtby is just that good, but I also think that Washington's tiring them out. I mean, they are one of the most physical teams out there, and they were pretty underrated with their physical play in the regular season. But, I mean, Brooke Slate, Eric Fair, I mean, who's injured right now, but Joel Ward, Tom Wilson, these guys, they can play the game and they can hit you hard, and it's not only that they can hit you, but their stick work's amazing. So they're for sure tiring this New York Rangers team out. Henrik Lundqvist, since he's been back, hasn't looked like the Henrik Lundqvist we've both seen. But give him some time. I mean, this team should be better in front of him. I think the problem with the New York Rangers is they're really lacking Matt Zuccarello. I mean, they thought Martin St-Louis would take his position and kind of thrive more there. Martin St-Louis is much older and is getting older, and you can see the difference between his game from last year to this year. I think Zuccarello is that spark plug that they're missing. But, I got to give credit to the Washington Capitals. I really didn't think they would be able to be playing this well against the New York Rangers. I thought they'd get a couple wins here, but they're getting some nice wins here, and they're dominating some of the games. And it's Braden Holtby. I mean, this guy looks exactly like Carey Price. Every time I watch him, I feel like I'm watching a Carey Price twin. So it's something to watch for sure if Braden Holtby can keep this up, because this is a remarkable run he's going on with Alex Ovechkin.
No doubt. And like we said, though, the Caps have looked really good. And you got to give credit to Barry Trotz, too. I mean, like, he looks like he's really made this team into a playoff-ready team. And I always thought that idea of playoff hockey and, they're a really heavy lineup, I always thought that was somewhat of a myth. And I thought that at the end of the day, if you're the better team, you're going to win. But, you know, for the most part, this Caps team has been way more physical than I remember in recent memory. They've looked tremendous, and obviously you got to give a lot of credit to Holtby. I mean, like, you know, to win a 1-0 game, to win a 1-0 game like that against the New York Rangers, a team that last night had nearly 60% possession numbers, even strength. I mean, they were really good, but Holtby was just that much better. Moving on to tonight, we've got two exciting games. It's a couple of series that are 2-0 right now. The Chicago Blackhawks go to Minnesota to try and improve on the Wild. Chicago has, every time they've played Minnesota in the playoffs in the last few years, they take a 2-0 series lead in Chicago and then head back to Minny. Corey Crawford's played relatively well in games 1 and 2, hasn't really faced that much of a struggle. Minnesota, I think that if they're going to have any chance in the series, they need to start suppressing the amount of opportunities that are coming from Chicago's way. That's what Nashville did so well against Chicago in round one. And I think as much as Chicago moved on, you got to remember Nashville lost some overtime games. I mean, it could have easily gone the other way. Nashville did a really good job at containing Chicago's top talent and then shutting down the rest of their lineup. And then when Chicago was able to generate offense, it was because Johnny Toews and Patrick Kane stepped up. But in this series, Minnesota hasn't done that. And not to mention Devan Dubnyk, he might be getting a little tired. He might have been facing a lot of traffic as of late. But he looks like he's slowed down a little bit. He's let in 8 goals in these 2 games. Thomas Vanek as well, 0 goals in the postseason, only 21 in the regular season. You got to wonder at what point is he ever going to break out. Thoughts on that series so far, Chris? And do you think Minnesota has a chance to at least get it closer in Minny?
Yeah, I do. I think Minnesota is a good home team, and especially, you know, the saying, you're not in trouble until you lose at home. That's still for sure counting there. I mean, Minnesota is the hockey state, I guess you would like to call it. I guess college hockey, we should call it. But, yeah, I don't think Chicago should feel all this confident right now and feel like they've got this series in hand, because this Minnesota Wild team is good. And Devan Dubnyk, to be honest, hasn't been as great as he has shown in the past. Maybe that's lady luck catching up to him. I mean, he's played way too many games to count. Maybe he'll even fall down, but maybe he'll come back to reality, and that's what he's kind of doing right now. So hopefully Minnesota Wild fans can pray that he will get back to the level that he was playing at before. I really do see Minnesota winning this this game tonight. I think they are going to be the desperate team. And Chicago, you know, they've done amazing in this playoffs, and it's really just showing us that this core is a winning core.
We're about to have Todd Cordell on to talk a little bit of Devils hockey. But my last point on the Blackhawks, let's not forget Corey Crawford is a sieve. He's always been a sieve. He'll always be a sieve. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gives up a fiver tonight. I'm just playing devil's advocate. But in all honesty, I mean, what's there to suggest from round one saying that I'm wrong? And don't be surprised if you see Scott Darling in the net again. Joining us on the line right now is a man who I'm not going to allow on air until he gives us his Lou Lamoriello impression, because I know it's as good as anyone's I know. It's Hockey Buzz. It's Todd Cordell. Todd, how's it going, man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Todd,
pretty good.
Do that impression. I want to hear your Lou Lamoriello. I'm not going to talk about the Devils until you give me that impression. Let's hear it.
I think you actually have the better impression, so I'm going to leave that one for you.
We know that our organization needs two-way forwards with character, and this is awful. This might be my worst. If you want to hear a good Lou Lamoriello impression, just listen to Greg Wyshynski on the Puck Daddy podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say, you're close to him a little bit.
It sounds more like Maya Quimby of Springfield. But that's enough of that. Todd, Ray Shearer is hired as the New Jersey Devils GM, replacing Lou Lamoriello, who's been there since 1987. Lou's going to continue to be the president of hockey ops, but Shearer takes over. When you look at Lamoriello's time, I mean, he won three cups, multiple conference championships, division titles. He was one of the fathers of the trap, which dominated the dead puck era. And as, like we said, Greg Wyshynski mentioned today, he was the face of New Jersey Devils hockey. Just tell me about what you thought of Lamoriello's time in New Jersey and the job he did with this team.
Well, obviously the Devils have slipped a little bit during the last couple of years, but throughout his time, I think Detroit Red Wings are the only team to pick up more wins than the Devils. And what he was able to accomplish, taking over a terrible team at the time and turning them to a winner every year, like you mentioned, they've won three cups, made it to the cup five different times. And they've never been a big spending team, and they've lost a lot of good players like Brian Falski, Zach Parise, Paul Martin, et cetera, et cetera. They just walk away for nothing. And for the most part, he's been able to continue to get them in the playoffs. So I don't think he could have done a much better job during his time there.
So, Todd, I mean, do you think this will be a rebuild or a retool? I mean, they have some great goal or defensive prospects, and they have a good, solid goaltender, but they can't score. What do you think?
I think it's more of a retooling. As you mentioned, the defense has some pretty good players and a lot of young talent, like Adam Larson, Eric Chalana, Damon Severson, et cetera. And, of course, Schneider and Nett, they have a chance to win every night, similar to the Habs with Carey Price. The forward core needs a lot of work. But luckily for Shiro, they have some cap space to work with. They have the sixth overall pick where they should be able to get a very good player. And with the cap not going up as much as expected, a lot of teams like Chicago are going to have to cut ties with some guys like Patrick Sharp or maybe Boston with Louis Erickson. So if he can maybe pluck one or two of those guys and draft the top six forward with the sixth pick, I think the Devils could be good again within a couple of years.
Todd, I was looking at Ray Shearer's draft record with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I'm just going to list off a bunch of names, and these were really the only ones that really stood out for me. Jordan Staal, who is now in Carolina, Angelo Esposito, who is in God knows where, Olli Maatta, who had a good rookie season but struggled with injuries this year, Derek Pouliot, who's been up and down between the AHL and the NHL, Bo Bennett, who at 23 doesn't look like a first-round pick. And then they traded Jordan Staal for Brandon Sutter, who is somewhat struggling on the Penguins' third line. Is Shiro, like, what about Shiro stood out for the Devils organization where they thought this should be the guy to lead us in the post-Lou era?
Well, I think first and foremost, Lamoriello is a guy who usually goes with what he knows, and he's worked with Ratio before with USA Hockey, so I think that familiarity helped. Loscio's draft record hasn't been the best. If you look at where they've been picking, they've had a good team, so he's been picking in the latter half of the first round. And though the GMs have the final call, oftentimes they listen to what their scouts are spoon-feeding them. So if the scouts are adamant that someone's going to be a good player and they've seen it more than him, more often than not, he'll just go with what they're telling him. So I think the scouting staff has as much to do with it as he does. And though he hasn't drafted forwards particularly well, which is what the Devils need, he has done very well with defensemen. They've got some guys like Scott Harrington, Pouliot, Olli Maatta, as you mentioned, some of those guys. So they've done a nice job developing and drafting defensemen. He's just going to have to find a way to do the same with forwards.
Once Shiro got into the office, we all put the dots together and we thought Dan Bylsma will get the coaching job. Who do you think are the top candidates? And do you actually think that he is part of that top candidate talk? I think he'll for sure get a job with all these availabilities, but is New Jersey the place for him?
I think it's definitely a possibility. Usually when GMs take over a new team, they like to put the stamp on the team. And one way to go about doing that without making drastic changes and blowing up the team and all that jazz is picking a coach. The Devils happen to have a vacancy there. I think he's going to want to go with his own guy and not go with Adam Oates or Scott Stevens or some in-house options, because I think he's really going to start to want to change the culture and change the team. So I think Bylsma is definitely a candidate. Perhaps some of the other big names, not Babcock or McClellan, but maybe a guy like Hitchcock if he's let go, or someone like that. There's definitely a lot of options, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes with this.
Bob, let's move away from the New Jersey Devils and look at the playoffs right now. I know that you're a follower of the Anaheim Ducks. You watch, and I'm sure you've been watching them throughout the postseason. And to me, it looks like Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff have been unbelievable, especially Perry with 5 goals and 8 assists in 6 games. What's up with this Ducks team right now, and why are they playing so good, not to mention some pretty stellar goaltending?
Well, I think the difference definitely this year is depth. A lot of the time, Ducks haven't maybe had the same forward depth as they have this year, and the load has been too big for Getzlaff and Perry to carry alone. But Ryan Kessler's obviously been playing excellent hockey on the second line, and he's also handled some of the tougher matchups. Like this series, he's been going against the Sean Monahan line and has completely shut them down, which has allowed Getzlaff and Perry to play lesser lines, and we definitely see the results from that.
So, Todd, I need to see your hockey mind come out here. I'll be driving up to Tampa tomorrow to see my Montreal Canadiens take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was thinking, what's your thought on this series? Do you think it's over? Do you think Montreal has a chance? I would like to hear an outsider's thought.
Well, I picked Tampa Bay to win the Cup before the year, and I picked them to win the Cup before the playoffs, so I'm going to stick with that. So I think they'll win the series. But I do think Montreal's played better than maybe the series score indicates. The biggest problem for them so far has been taking penalties, and though Carey Price is outstanding, if you continue to parade to the box and give guys like Stamkos, Johnson, Kucherov power play opportunities, give them all that free space to work with, they're going to make you pay. So I think the Habs have to play a more disciplined game. And if Carey Price is on his game, they have a chance every night, and I wouldn't bet against that.
Smart.
Todd, my last question. Earlier in the show, we mentioned Braden Holtby as a potential Conn Smythe candidate. Corey Perry's another one. In my eyes, I think Duncan Keith has been unbelievable for the Blackhawks this postseason. Who are some players that you've watched that, if their team continues to go further down the postseason, might have a shot at the Conn Smythe?
Well, I definitely think the guys you mentioned are out or near the top of the list. Another one I'd throw out right now is Tyler Johnson. Steven Stamkos has been a no-show for much of the playoffs, and the Lightning have continued to win games despite that. And Johnson's a big reason why. He's sort of carried the team. He's put up a ton of points. He's been playing big minutes. He's just been the spark that they needed with Stamkos struggling. So I think if the Lightning continue to win games and he keeps putting up points, I think he'll be a good candidate for sure.
Well, thanks, Todd, for coming on, and let's hope you're right about that thought about the Montreal Canadiens riding on Carey Price. I'm sorry, but I think your cup prediction's going to be wrong, because my Montreal Canadiens, I'm feeling it, are going to have a big comeback here.
I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Bye, see Todd. Man. See you, buddy. See you, Todd.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Bye, Todd. It's Todd Cordell from Hockey Buzz. Always like having him
what
on
a guy.
The show. He's been a little bit of a regular, and I think that a lot of people kind of like him, too.
He knows his stuff.
All right, we've talked about every series, and we briefly recapped it with Todd, except for Ducks and Flames. That game will be later tonight. I believe it's at 9:30 Eastern time. Like we said, the Flames are 3-0 at home. They were against Vancouver in the first round. I'm really interested to see how the Ducks react in Calgary tonight. Like I said at the beginning of the show, the Ducks went 2-0 in Winnipeg when what we were saying is the greatest home ice in the league, and they seem to do pretty well. And I'm interested how they're going to do against this Flames team tonight, which is in a really deep hole. Another thing that I'm interested is Sam Bennett's going to play his 10th game of the year. He played one in the regular season. He's played 8 so far in the postseason, and it's going to burn the first year of his entry deal. Do you think that's really that big of a deal?
Yes, 100%. To be honest, I don't see Calgary winning a game. If you've watched these games, they are getting absolutely dominated. It's going to be a sweep. Anaheim Ducks are too good for them. Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and Yuri Hudler can't do anything because, and it's not their fault, this Anaheim team is just too big and manhandling this team. So, yeah, I really do not think that's a smart move. I mean, you're going to let them have 11 games. You can't just send them up for two more games. I don't know why they're going to do this. But you know what? They think they'll win. Keep all to them. You know, they're going back to the Saddle Dome. Maybe we'll see a couple wins. But unless a miracle happens, to be honest, I cannot see the Calgary Flames beating them in the series, let alone win three games. They are getting absolutely manhandled. I don't like that. I didn't really like how they're going to waste this contract. But, I mean, this Calgary team, I'll give them props. I'm not going to argue about that, what a run they've been on. And I hope they can keep it up. But like I said, before the series started, it's over.
I got to give the Flames credit. I mean, all throughout since we've been doing the show, I've been criticizing the Flames and saying it's going to catch up to them. The math says that it's just not sustainable. And for the most part, they've kind of said F you to me and have played extremely well. And Jonas Hiller's played good hockey, but I think it's finally catching up to them now. And you're seeing, like you said, it's a Ducks team that's just much bigger, much more physical, more skilled, a lot more veterans, and it seems like if it's not a sweep, then it looks like it might be five games, but who knows? You got to give credit to them. Todd, or sorry, I just called you Todd. I'm very
wow.
I know.
No, it's an honor. It's an honor.
One last comment. We got about less than 2 minutes left. Bob Hartley today said, minutes are not important. If I was working with bombs, then they'd be important. And he was talking about distributing ice time. I just find that hilarious from a guy who plays Derek England over 20 minutes a night in a playoff game. Where does Bob Hartley get off saying ice time distribution isn't important? Like, just your thoughts on that quote.
Well, like, when I hear that quote, I think, what are you saying, man? But then I also look at his record and what I thought of him before the season started, and I see what he's done. One of the probably the most underrated coach this season. You're right, Mr. Bob Hartley. You can say whatever you want because you did something no one thought was possible. If he didn't mean to say it that way, then we'll just erase it. But the guy, he's doing pretty good, and I love him as a coach. He's a funny guy. He has good interviews. I always think he's got a good quote around there. So keep it up, Bob.
Yeah, it was a pretty funny quote, and he is a funny guy.
Yeah.
But his team's about to get their ass kicked tonight, probably.
Exactly.
Oh well. Anyway. This has been the Hockey Guys Podcast. Thanks to Todd Cordell for coming on the show. Hopefully we'll get him on before the next round of the playoffs happens. A lot of interesting stuff. I don't know about Ray Shiro in New Jersey. Like I said, his draft record's a little sketchy, but we'll see. Big shoes to fill, though. I mean, how often do you see guys hold the same spot in hockey for almost 30 years? So all the credit to Lou Lamoriello. He's Chris Shannon. I'm Hunter Crowther. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisShannon16. You can follow me at Hunter Crowther. Go to thehockeyguys.net for more content. We'll be releasing the episode very soon. And thanks for listening, man. Appreciate it. Get out of here. It's over. Hockey Guys Podcast. Thank you.